Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Tuesday and welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up today. We continue our ACC previews. We look at SMU this year coming off their college football playoff berth from last season. We'll also look at the Kansas City Chiefs today as we start our previews of the AFC West. It's a teed up Tuesday. We got the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship in Baltimore. We will look at that. Our guy Nick Henyon is going to join us later on in the show, talk some golf and NFL with Nick. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Send in your questions at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, anything on SMU, anything college football related in general, anything on the Chiefs, golf, let us know. Send in your questions. We'll get to it over the next 30 minutes. And if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Dean Ralski, who joins us. Give Dean a follow on X at Dean Ralski, staff writer for the On the Pony Express, covering SMU. And Dean, it's been a historical AP poll that dropped for SMU yesterday. First time they find themselves in the top 25 since 1985. Obviously coming off the college football playoff berth from last season. So how are Rhett Lashley, SMU, how are they handling expectations going into this season?
Yeah, it's exciting times for SMU. You know, they made, as you mentioned, made the college football playoff last year. And really, they're just trying to pick up where they left off. You know, they kept their entire coaching staff from last season, which has been a key reason why I think this team can really hit the ground running in 2025. And they're going to need to with some of their early tests. But so far in fall camp, you know, they're pushing the team's physicality, make sure they're ready. And, man, they are ready for the start of the season.
They definitely are. I'm sure Kevin Jennings is ready for the start of the season too, Dean, because the last time we saw him, he had a game he wanted to forget against Penn State. And I think that's why SMU is interesting this year, because you and I both know how good Kevin Jennings is, but a majority of people saw him in that Penn State game and probably formed their opinion on what they think. But with him back, and obviously the motivation of how last season ended, what are you expecting out of Jennings this year?
Yeah, you know, he's talked about it a lot this offseason, that the ending of the 2024-2025 seasons allowed him to really have this chip on his shoulder. You know, unfortunately, it was probably a lot of people's first time watching Kevin Jennings against Penn State, but people don't realize that he got them to that game. You know, Rhett Lashley made the tough decision to move on from Preston Stone and hand over the reins to Kevin Jennings after a week three loss to BYU. And then Jennings went undefeated in the regular season and nearly led an incredible comeback in the ACC championship game against Clemson. So look, he more than anybody is ready for the start of the season, because he's just had that bad taste in his mouth all offseason, and he's ready to get going here in 2025.
So Jennings comes back, Dean, but they lose their top running back, wide receiver. So who are some skill position guys that we could keep an eye out this year? Who do you think will be Jennings' favorite target? Maybe who are some running backs that can help him out as well?
Yeah, so we'll start with the running back position. Obviously, SMU loses Breshard Smith to the Chiefs, who I know you'll talk about later in the show, and what he's doing so far there is a little exciting. But the Mustangs have redshirt freshman Derek McFaul, who could very well start week one for the Mustangs. He played in four games in the regular season and then played in both postseason games. You know, they thought about burning his redshirt last year because the depth at running back wasn't really there, but they were able to redshirt him, and he's ready to really take a huge step forward today. We actually got to talk to him after practice today. He's put on some big weight. He's talking a lot about how he's able to pick up some of those pass blocks. So he's an explosive speedster running back. And then another running back to take note of would be the UCLA running back transfer, TJ Harden, who led the Bruins in rushing yards in 2024. He came to SMU late, arrived in late July, just got here before the start of fall camp, and actually wasn't even cleared to practice until last week. He was still waiting to be officially graduated from UCLA. So we've gotten to see our first few practices from him, and he is a super physical, you know, I think 6'2", 230-pound running back, so a big-time running back that's going to fall downhill. At wide receiver, they bring back Jordan Hudson, who is a senior leader, and they are expecting big things from him in 2025. He looked really great in the spring. You know, he transferred in from TCU a few years ago and has just slowly climbed up the depth chart, and this is his year to really shine. Another wide receiver would be Romello Brinson. He actually snuck in a redshirt. You know, they were planning on him to play last year, but he got banged up and he was just never back to 100%. So they were able to redshirt him last year. And he's someone who's, you know, got a 40-inch vertical, so can just go up and catch those deep balls if you put it in his vicinity. And just the last thing I'd want to add too is SMU thinks they've got one of, if not the best tight end rooms in the country. When you talk about RJ Maryland, who had some preseason hype last year and it was really building on a strong season before he had a tough ACL injury in the middle of the year, and then Matthew Hibner emerged in Maryland's absence. And so to have both of those guys back this year can be a real game changer for SMU.
I like it. So the tight end room is going to be really strong. Quarterback, obviously, with Jennings is going to be strong. And then this O-line is going to be really good too, Dean, isn't it?
Yeah, they did lose a couple guys, you know, to graduation to the NFL, but they're excited about this room. And talking with some coaches, they think this offensive line can take a step forward from last year's team. You know, they've got PJ Williams at right tackle, who has a chance to be all ACC first team. I think he'll get all ACC honors for sure, but it's just a loaded tackle position in the ACC, truth be told. They've got a senior leader in Logan Parr at left guard, who's going into his sixth year of college football, getting his second master's degree at SMU, so just a do-it-all guy there, and they're really excited about him. They bring in a couple of transfers in Addison Nichols from Arkansas, played 12 games there, and Josh Bates, who played at Oklahoma. And both of those guys are going to be on the interior. Still waiting to see who's going to play center and who's going to play right guard. In the spring, it looked like maybe Nichols would play center and Bates right guard. It switched in the fall. So, you know, the depth chart is not fully complete for SMU, but they're excited about that room for sure.
On the other side of the ball, Dean, I certainly think the defense is the question mark for SMU. I expect the offense to be terrific, but they lose a lot of starters on the defensive side of the ball, and that's really what has led SMU being so good the past 2 years, is how good they've been on defense while kind of the offense gets all the recognition. How do you think the defense is going to be this season?
Yeah, that defensive line, like you mentioned, I mean, just loses a ton of production from last season, but they did bring in a bunch of guys in the portal. You know, they retained Isaiah Smith and Cam Robertson on the edge, a couple of really impressive pass rushers, and so they're expecting big things from those two guys. And then on the interior, you know, you bring in a guy like Jeffrey Embaugh, transfer from Purdue, 6'6", 300 pounds, can just absorb blockers, and is just a pure power type of defensive tackle. And then they brought in Terry Webb from Texas State, who's an interesting prospect. He's got really nice finesse moves on the interior, and as you know, had a couple coaches saying wow during practice, so they're very excited about him. They brought in some depth guys on the edge as well and on the interior, just really trying to reload that group. You think about Wu Spencer from Louisville. You talk about DJ Warner from Kansas, who may not be the biggest guy, but man, he is fast coming off of the edge there. And then Ja'Kai Lang from Missouri as well, someone they're hoping can contribute. Had three sacks as a Missouri Tiger last year. So they've got the pieces. For SMU, it's just a matter of coming together, it all coming together on that defensive line.
We're talking with Dean Ralski here on Send It In, staff writer on the Pony Express. Give Dean a follow on X at Dean Ralski. Dean, let's dive into the schedule that SMU has, because I think it's an interesting one. They play a lot of the top teams in the ACC this season, and then they also have two D1 difficult non-conference games against teams from the state of Texas as well. What were kind of your overall takeaways of the SMU schedule?
It's an exciting one for sure. You know, for a lot of people last year maybe said, well, SMU had the super favorable run, and then they saw the Penn State game, and SMU didn't get to prove a lot of people wrong. So even though SMU knows they had a successful season in 2024, they're still hungry, right? They've got, as you mentioned, these two key out-of-conference games against Baylor and TCU, which are not only big just for this season, but, man, for bragging rights and recruiting and just that area of Texas, you know, some huge games right off the gate. And then you've got Clemson, Miami, and Louisville all on the schedule in ACC play. You know, you'll have the ACC championship rematch in Death Valley in October. SMU would like to think they're undefeated going into that game, and that could be a big-time matchup in the ACC. And then they'll come home a couple weeks later against Miami for homecoming. That'll be a fun one. Carson Beck, of course, coming to town. Miami, high hopes. And then Louisville, you know, a team that a lot of ACC people think could make their way to Charlotte if a few things go their way. They've got, of course, that running back room of Isaac Brown and Duke Watson, a very exciting room there. And then you bring in Miller Moss at quarterback. So, you know, you mentioned that the defense has some question marks. Well, we're going to find answers to those really quickly when you think about the quarterbacks SMU's facing and Sawyer Robertson and Josh Hoover, Cade Klubnik, you know, Carson Beck and Miller Moss to finish it off. So some real tests for SMU this year.
I mean, you mentioned, Dean, right now people that are watching on YouTube and Twitch, they can see that Clemson is the favorite, followed by Miami and then Louisville. So SMU going to play all three of the teams. What do you think is the pecking order in the ACC? Clemson's the best team. Do you think SMU's two? Are they three? How do you see them amongst some of the ACC's best?
You know, in my preseason poll that I submitted at ACC Media Days, I did have SMU second. Of course, Clemson's number one. You can't argue against that with all they bring back. With Miami, they look super strong in the trenches, right? On offense and on the defensive line as well. But you lose your top six pass catchers from last year, and you bring in a new quarterback, and you lose Damian Martinez at running back. Now, they've got Mark Fletcher there who they think is capable, but that's a lot of question marks as well. You know, I'm not one of those who's worried that Carson Beck's health is necessarily an issue, but when your you know, top receiver from last year was your seventh best pass catcher, that's going to cause some concerns. And then the defense, look, they've got the talent. You bring in Corey Heatherman as the defensive coordinator. How quickly can you turn that group around? I still think we have to wait and see. And then Louisville, I've just got questions on defense. I think the offense can be terrific in high scoring, but when you think about some of the games Louisville got into last year, that game against Miami, they got up into the 40s, if not the 50s, but they just couldn't stop Miami. And Georgia Tech is a sleeper as well, and I think they could be right up there as well. So it is an open race for that sort of second spot. There are a bunch of teams you talk about, maybe even Duke getting into the mix, and what does Florida State look like? So it's an open race in the ACC.
Dean, we got about 20 seconds. The win total for SMU at BetMGM is 8.5. Would you go over or under for SMU wins this season?
You know, I would go over. I think it's key that you get Baylor, Miami, and Louisville at home. If you want to pencil in a loss to Clemson, that's fine. But other than that, you're talking about Baylor, TCU, Miami, Louisville. You just need to go 2-2 in those games to hit the over. I like SMU's odds.
Great stuff. Dean Ralski, give him a follow on X at Dean Ralski, staff writer for On the Pony Express, joining us here on Send It In. Dean, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the season. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff there from Dean, guys. Let's continue talking SMU here on Send It In. And again, interesting schedule, because in college football, we maybe see one of these Power Four teams play like one good non-conference team, but SMU's getting two of them. They get Baylor in week two, and then that road trip to Fort Worth to take on TCU, which will be a fun one. Obviously, a Dallas team against the Fort Worth team, which should be really fun. Big advantage for SMU, Baylor does have Auburn in week one, while SMU has East Texas A&M. So really, SMU can use their entire offseason to just prep for Baylor and get ready for that game. So that is a big advantage, and certainly a game that when you look at the win total, one of those swing games potentially. Then they have Missouri State, another kind of bye week type game before taking on TCU. So even though they do have two difficult non-conference games on paper, they have cupcake opponents before those games, and the fact that Baylor has to play Auburn the week before, definitely a benefit for SMU. And then look, if you're betting a future on SMU to go to the ACC title game, win the ACC title. I mean, they're playing everybody that they want to play. Clemson's the favorite to win the league. Miami's second. Louisville's third. They get to play all those teams. And as Dean mentioned, the Miami and Louisville game are both at home. So probably going to be favored in both of those games. Maybe Miami, depending on how their season goes, is a small favorite in that one. But even though there are some tricky games, the schedule does kind of set up nice for SMU. I am worried about that defense because Rhett Lashley, their head coach, is an offensive guy. Their offense has been really good the last couple of years, but it's been their defense that has been what's carried them and got them to the college football playoff last season. Losing 9 starters on that defense, that's going to be a lot to replace. So maybe look at some overs in those early SMU games when the offense is going to be really good. Defense is still a work in progress. I think the over between Baylor and SMU is going to be a great bet. I think TCU, SMU over is going to be a nice bet as well. But then that defense, by the time they get to Clemson, should have things figured out. And I agree with Dean. I would go over 8.5 wins. I think this is about a 9-win football team. For them to make the ACC title game again is plus 500. And again, they're playing all the teams that you would probably want them to play to have those tiebreakers against. I don't think that's a terrible bet either. All this talk about Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech, but we might just get a rematch of the ACC title game that we got last year between Clemson and SMU. And Kevin Jennings is a good quarterback, and I think that's why there's some value on SMU as well, is because people are going to see that he's returning at quarterback. We all remember the game against Penn State. Everybody's just going to use that one game to form their opinion on Kevin Jennings, and I think they're going to be down on this SMU team, but as Dean said, he was the reason they got to the playoff in the first place. He's a good quarterback. He's a year older. He's a year wiser. He's got a good offensive line, one of the best tight end rooms in the ACC. Their offense is going to be good, and I think Jennings is going to play really good this season for the Mustangs. All right, let's talk a little Kansas City Chiefs now here on Send It In. See, you guys got some questions in the chat. Absolutely love it. Reed Phillips, if healthy, I like Xavier Worthy to have a good year. Took his season over 900 yards and a sprinkle on Offensive Player of the Year. That's a nice price on Offensive Player of the Year. Reed, I do like the over 900 yards as well. Rice is going to come back at some point during the season, but even when he does, I mean, Worthy's speed, he's obviously a game breaker. Anytime he touches the ball, he can go to the end zone. If he stays healthy, I think he can be an 1,000-yard receiver this year, so I do like that bet. You also bet Mahomes to win MVP. I'll discuss that in a second. And then Jim Lucas, what's your favorite award in the NFL? I think it might be Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP. It was Amarion Hampton, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I still like that a lot. The Rashawn Slater injury, though, definitely not great. One of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. Still like that, but I do like Pat Mahomes to win the MVP this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's a couple reasons why. The first one is the price. Like Reed was talking about, Lamar's the favorite, followed by Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Like, when's the last time you've seen Mahomes as the fourth betting favorite to win the MVP? A lot of this is recency bias because Lamar easily could have won the last two MVPs. Josh obviously won last year. Burrow has maybe the best offense in the NFL with him at quarterback and those two wide receivers. And with the defense that they had, he's going to have to put up a lot of points this year if they want to win games. So it makes sense why those guys are the top three. But Mahomes hasn't won the MVP in the last 3 years. So you do have kind of enough time that has passed by where I think these voters, if Mahomes gets up back to this season where he's throwing for 40 touchdowns, nearing 5,000 yards, where he definitely can put himself in the conversation. And I think the Chiefs are going to take the regular season a lot more seriously than they maybe have had the last couple of years. I mean, you guys watch these games. It just feels like Kansas City the last 2 years have kind of put it on cruise control in the regular season. They do just enough to win these games and then empty the chamber when they get to the postseason. It's why they're so bad against the spread. It's why they play just about every game close. And then when you get to the playoffs, they look like a completely different team. But with how much better the AFC West is getting, and now the Chargers are getting better, the Broncos are certainly getting better. You guys know I like the Raiders for the upcoming season. Kansas City now is only minus 120 to win the AFC West, and I think that is an absolute bet because the thing is, we all hate the Chiefs, unless you're a Chiefs fan, and we're all looking for teams that can beat them, and we're trying to end this dynasty and hoping that the Chiefs fall off. But are we really sure that the Broncos are ready to take that next step. After one season of Bo Nix, like, are we really sure the Broncos are ready to win that division yet? The Chargers just lost Rashawn Slater. Justin Herbert, I don't think, has won a big game in his entire life. Are we sure that he can beat Mahomes and Andy Reid and win the division? And then I like the Raiders a lot. I think they could be a potential surprise playoff team in the AFC. Do I think they're beating Kansas City to win the division, though? No, I do not. So I think the Chiefs to win the division is a good bet, and then Mahomes to win MVP. Rice is going to come back. Year two is Xavier Worthy. Full year of Hollywood Brown as well. Pacheco should be healthy at running back. And Kelsey's lost some weight. He looks better. He should be better than he was last season. And again, because the Chiefs got embarrassed in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and Baltimore and Buffalo are favored over them right now to get to the Super Bowl, a team that obviously Kansas City, they've owned both of those teams, especially in the postseason. Think there's a chip on their shoulder. I think there's a chip on Mahomes' shoulder. I think he's going to have a great regular season. I love the price at plus 700. So I like him to win MVP, and I like the Chiefs to win that division as well. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's in any sport. Odds Boost token, no matter where the action is, will supercharge the odds on your next sports bet. Use this Odds Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning bet. All right, it's a Tuesday. Let's check in now with our guy, Nick Kenyon. Give Nick a follow on X, at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, we got a golf tournament in my backyard this weekend, my friend. BMW Championship. I'll be out there on Saturday looking forward to it. What should we know about this course this year out there at Caves Valley?
Yeah, hi, PJ. Good to see you, as always. The one big change you need to know for Caves Valley this year, it's not going to play very similarly to the last time we saw it host the BMW Championship. That was a par 72 with four par fives. Transitions to a par 70 this year with two par fives becoming par fours. They've also lengthened it quite a bit since it last hosted the BMW. So really, you need to look for guys who are excellent off the tee, long and straight. That's the recipe for success off the tee this week. And then you mostly just need guys who have been striping it with their irons and have excelled in terms of their par four efficiency record in recent memory. So it's not going to play as easy as we saw. 27 under was the winning score last time. I would expect it to play a little bit more difficult, especially they've lengthened the rough quite a bit compared to last time. So it is not going to be the same story we saw when Patrick Cantlay beat Bryson DeChambeau in a playoff.
I think that grounds crew took offense, Nick, when it was 27 under was the winning score. They're like, if we get this tournament again, that is not happening. So agree with everything that you said. Who are some golfers that you like this week? You said we're looking for long and straight, good iron players. Who are some guys that made your card?
Yeah, I'll go back to the well with Patrick Cantlay. He won here last time. I know it's a different course, but he's not really regarded as one of the bigger hitters on tour, but he's quietly 12th in driving distance gained over his last 50 measured rounds. And if you look at his Memphis performance, really good iron play, plus five strokes on approach over his last two measured tournaments, in the United States, plus 11.2 strokes on approach. So the irons are clearly working, and he turned in a godlike putting performance here the last time he played, over 14 strokes gained putting the last time he played at Caves Valley. So maybe the greens just happened to suit him. So Cantlay 18-1. I think that's a pretty good price. Next up, we'll go to Kurt Kitayama at 45-1. Won the 3M Open recently, another course that requires sort of the same recipe off the tee. And his approach play has just been really good recently. Eighth in strokes gained off the tee, third in strokes gained approach over his last 24 rounds. Also fourth in driving distance and fifth in opportunities gained. So Kitayama, three top tens in his last four starts, no worse than 31st in any of those. So if you get a good putting performance out of him this week, I think the ball striking could lead to him outperforming his market rating. And then I'll give you one bomb, PJ. Jonathan Vegas is 125-1. So generally regarded as one of the bigger hitters on tour. That's why you saw him contend at Quail Hollow for the PGA Championship. He was quietly very good in hitting fairways in Memphis, 39 of 56 for the week. That might not sound like a lot, but it was tied for seventh in the field. So he gained 5 strokes on approach in Memphis and was sitting around T14th as a final finishing position. If the ball striking continues, again, you just need a hot putter from him. Given we saw him have success at Quail Hollow, there are kind of some similarities to the between those two courses. I think it's worth a few bucks at 125-1.
I love it. Nick, do you like these tournaments that we're going to get this week, next week with the Tour Championship when the fields are smaller? Do you feel like it's tougher? Is it easier because there are less golfers? What are kind of your thoughts?
It's difficult to quantify. I think for me, I do like these tournaments where there's a more concentrated number of players in the field because you can actually find ways to, you know, narrow your card a lot more easily than you can in these full field events. And there's also a lot of data to consider in terms of how guys perform in these smaller events. So you don't have to make as many excuses for players as you would in say, 140 person field. So it's definitely a mixed bag, especially when you have two horses like Scotty and Rory at the top. But yeah, it makes it slightly easier, but slightly more difficult in ways as well.
All right, Nick, let's talk a little football before I let you go. We started previewing the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs today. I still like them to win that division. A lot of people are high on Denver this year. There's been some love for the Chargers. Who do you like in the AFC West?
Here's what I'll say about the Broncos. So when these division odds opened, the Chiefs were hovering around the same number that they are about right now. Los Angeles was around plus 220, plus 225, and the Broncos were around plus 425, plus 430. I thought that price was a little bit crazy on the Broncos. Now, here's the thing. If you disagree with me, I'm not going to take offense to it, but I don't see a path to where this defense regresses to the point where they're a really bad team. So I like taking them from a ceiling standpoint, but you're not going to see me heavily investing in them from like a win total or make the playoffs or anything like that. I think if you like them, you should just bet them to win the division. But I will say, like, if you look at the schedule, there's not a lot of teams on there where it's like, oh man, like those, that could be a really hard game for their defense. 9 of their 10 wins last year came when they allowed 20 or fewer points. If you're a believer in DVOA and that teams need to have played hard defenses in order to succeed against them, really the only two challenges on their schedule are the Packers and the Bengals. Both of those games are at home. Now, I will say they get royally screwed in both games against the Chiefs. They host them off Kansas City's bye week, and then they have a short week road game on Christmas in Kansas City. Brutally difficult schedule. So I generally agree with you that I think the Chiefs win the division, but the way the schedules align, I think you might be able to get a better number than what you're getting right now on KC. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that they're like a 5-3, 5-4 team entering their bye week. So I'm going to wait and see if there's a chance to get a better number on them, but betted on Denver way back when, I want to say it was in March or April, but I think they're either a team that wins 13 games or like 8 games. I don't think there's a middle ground with them.
Very good. Always good talking with Nick Kenyon. Give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, have a great week, my friend. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Enjoy the BMW, PJ.
Appreciate it, my friend. All right, guys, let's continue talking some golf. It is a teed up Tuesday. And like Nick was talking about, really the big changes at Caves Valley from when they played at 2021 to when they're obviously going to tee it up on Thursday is that this goes from par 72 golf course to a par 70 golf course. One of the big reasons why Cantlay was able to shoot a 27 under. Last few years, he's been one of the best on the PGA Tour, dominating par fives. All those par fives were reachable. Well, now you only have 2 par fives on the golf course. So going to play tougher. The rough, as Nick said, is going to be a bit bigger. They narrowed the fairways as well. So they definitely made this course tougher. I would expect the winning score to probably be high teens, mid-teens, somewhere in that neighborhood. 49 golfers in the field this week, no Sepp Straka. So instead of 50, you get 49. 3 guys that I'm going to look at. The first one is Rory at plus 750. Rory takes the week off, doesn't play in Memphis, instead's going to tee up this week. And this really is a course that fits well for Rory. Nick told you guys, you got to hit it long and straight. Is there anybody you'd rather have than Rory in that department? Finished in the top four when they played here back in 2021. And this really is a course that should set up really well for Rory. If he's driving the ball well this week, he's going to be a tough guy to beat. So I know it's no fun betting Scotty or Rory, but I think it's a good week to bet Rory. How about Victor Hovland, one of the best ball strikers? It feels like the weeks that everybody is on Hovland, he doesn't play well. Don't think a bunch of people are going to be on him hit this week. So I do like Victor Hovland. And then what about Chris Goddard up at 40-1? Seventh in strokes gained off the tee, 10th in driving distance. And when they played here back in 2021, he did finish in the top 10. So keep an eye on Chris Goddard up. I think he could be a factor this week at 40-1. Of course, we'll give out our full card tomorrow. Let's wrap up the show. Favorite plays of the day. Going streaking, we're going to start. Gunnar Henderson is my play against George Kirby and the Seattle Mariners. Gunnar 6-for-13 in his career against George Kirby. Kirby's faced the Orioles a lot here over the last couple of years, so we'll take Gunnar as going streaking. Prop lock, Paul Skenes over 17.5 outs at -150. The Brewers against Paul Skenes in his career, they have a 113 batting average against Skenes. Brewers only a small favorite today going up against Skenes. I think he at least gets to the sixth inning. We'll lay the juice -150. O's are going to be the dog of the day, +145. They've been very good in those first games of a series. We'll take Baltimore today. And give me Robbie Ray and the Giants, -120 against the Padres today as our best bet. Thanks again to Dean Ralski, Nick Kenyon for joining us today on the show. We got Georgia Tech coming up tomorrow and the Denver Broncos. We'll see you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.